From the KTO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with a local and statewide news update. With recorded cases at more than 1,200, the state's COVID-19 dashboard showed a large drop in the number of available inpatient beds on Wednesday from 1,800 to 1,400. But Jared Koshin, head of the Alaska State Hospital and Nursing Home Association, says it's not a physical drop in the number of hospital beds. Rather, the state's dashboard was changed to accurately reflect the type of beds COVID-19 patients are likely to end up in if they get sick and need to go to the hospital.
So before, the data had had inpatient beds from our behavioral health facilities, it had inpatient beds from some of our specialty facilities. That is now being essentially filtered out. So what you're seeing on the dashboard is our most operationally practical available bed capacity on a daily basis.
But that also doesn't mean that the state only has 1,400 inpatient beds available. Koshin says that if there is a rush of COVID-19 patients, some of those other types of hospital beds could be repurposed to accommodate them.
So if I have a surge plan where I have an extra 50 beds ready if I need them, if I put those in the operation and they're a part of my daily capacity, then that would feed into those numbers eventually. So that would be the only time.
He says for now, the state's capacity should remain at about 1,400 beds available for COVID-19 patients. 785 of those are currently occupied. Alaska Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ann Zink says Alaskans can slow the spread of COVID-19, and they can do it by paying attention to just a few risks. During the news conference on Tuesday, Zink said that one of those risks is enclosed spaces.
So the more you can keep those windows open, the light out, and the more you can be outside, the better off we're all going to be.
The other risks include spending more time near others, being in dense crowds, and forcefully exhaling air, like through sneezing, coughing, yelling, and singing. The risks are becoming clearer as scientists spend more time studying how the coronavirus spreads. Zink says face coverings are now seen as more important in stopping the disease's spread than they were early on.
I think there's so much focus initially kind of on touching and surfaces, and the data has just become more and more clear that the spread can really happen in closed confined spaces via micro droplets and people talking in enclosed spaces.
And that information is becoming important as state officials talk with business owners about their plans, including examining their heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems.
We're talking a lot more about things like air circulations in businesses, again, windows open, HVAC systems to be able to make sure that you aren't having that disease circulate within an office building or a business.
Zink says the protective measures businesses can take now can keep them open even if an employee or customer contracts the disease, because they can stop it from spreading further. Local leaders unveiled a new mural July 4th in Petersburg honoring Native civil rights leader Elizabeth Peratrovich. It was one of the only few, the only few in-person events in Petersburg's Independence Day. KFSK's Joe Viknicki reports.
Peratovich was born in Petersburg on July 4, 1911. 109 years later, helpers pulled down a persistent covering over her newly painted likeness.
What is that saying? For all good things, you have to wait, right?
That's local resident and Petersburg Indian Association Tribal Council Vice President Brenda Norheim. She welcomed a small gathering in front of the Petersburg Courthouse.
Although we know that it took the hard work and voices of many Alaska Natives for the passage of the anti-discrimination law in Alaska, it was the strong, powerful, poignant words of Elizabeth Peratovich that had the lasting impact on our territorial Senate that day in 1945. That sealed the passage of the 1945 anti-discrimination law in Alaska. Here we are, 75 years later, recognizing this amazing, bold woman in her birthplace as a community. And I just think that's awesome.
The mural highlights Paratovich's role in passage of the Anti-Discrimination Act of 1945, which made it illegal to discriminate based on race. She and her husband, Roy, lobbied for passage of the bill, initially proposed by the Alaska Native Brotherhood and Alaska Native Sisterhood. Barbara Erickson is president of the local chapter of the ANS.
I'm very proud today to stand before you with this beautiful mural that was done with love and respect for a lady who fought for our civil rights in the beginning. And she fought for the children to get better education. She fought for Native people to have better homes, better jobs, all those things that we are still fighting for to this very day, not to the same degree, but the fight still goes on. And I'm very proud to be a part of that organization that her father, Andrew Wanamaker, founded.
Speakers also called for more unity in Petersburg and more symbols of Native culture and place names here. Several speakers also mentioned Amy Hollingstead, originally from Haines. She moved to Cake and then to Petersburg and was also noted for her work in seeking civil rights here in the middle of the last century. Janine Gibbons painted the mural and told of some of the history she uncovered during her research for the work.
Native women played an important role in uplifting their families. Early on, each summer, Tlingit women paddled from Cake to work in Petersburg's canneries, but they did not receive equal pay. Elizabeth Pratrovich, Amy Hollingstead, and a Norwegian, Dorothy Hofstede, worked to bring the AFL-CIO union to Petersburg, and with it, better pay for Native women.
Another speaker was Diane Benson, who moved to Petersburg. She's a scholar and actor who's portrayed Paratovich and has also sought political office at the state and national levels. She spoke of the symbol that would be raised on the courthouse in honor of Native culture and also spoke about the work left to do.
Today we have the majority per capita of Native men filling our prisons. We still have, even though we have corporations and money and that image of having great health and through our health corporations, through our Native corporations and dividends, the majority of our people are without still and struggling to have the rights to subsist still, struggling to not be called names in schools still, struggling not to be marginalized still. So we do have work to do. It's an ongoing thing. It's not a one-time thing.
That mural has not yet been installed. That will happen at a later date after the courthouse is done receiving a new coat of paint. The Petersburg Arts Council is still accepting donations for the project. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.
At least one small cruise company will not sail in Alaska this summer. American Cruise Lines announced Tuesday that it has canceled its season due to the spike in COVID-19 cases in other parts of the country. The company is one of a handful with ships that aren't subject to federal and international restrictions on larger ships with 250 passengers or more. Norwegian Cruise Line was the last major cruise ship company with tentative plans to visit Alaska this season, but it ended the suspense Monday by canceling its few remaining sailings. Small cruise lines offered one potential way to salvage some business amid the pandemic, even though their passengers represent a very small portion of the 1.4 million passengers that would have visited this year. According to the most recent email update from Tourism Best Management Practices in Juneau, three other small cruise ship companies could still visit Southeast port communities. The email on Monday said that Sitka-based Alaskan Dream Cruises suspended sailings until the end of July, and National Geographic hopes to resume sailings in mid-August. Dan Blanchard, owner of the Juneau-based Uncruise Adventures, said in an email they plan to start sailing August 1st. Passengers will fly in and out of Juneau, and the ships will not stop in any other communities. Visits from small cruise ships has been the subject of debate in recent weeks. The Ketchikan Assembly had voted to allow American Cruise Lines ship to dock in July. This week, the Skagway Assembly asked them not to come. This is KTOO News.